Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 169. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Ken Phillips. What is up, good sir?
Hey, man. Looking at the beginning here of a long, 4th of July holiday weekend, I suppose.
For those of us that are still working, it might feel like a long weekend. For those of us long unemployed, it feels like more of the same.
Yes, that's a good point.
I have a dose of the fever of what we're going to end up talking about in some ways, because obviously this podcast has turned into a pandemic podcast. We have gotten to sidetrack on some of the space stories and whatnot, because I know we did talk about SpaceX a little bit, so that was at least in the news. Most of it, man, we have been going through this pandemic for quite some time. Like you said, you're having a long weekend. I'm just still floating around. Just I guess I know what day of the week it is because the wife works, and I've been taking her to work, so I have some concept of what's going on. But it also doesn't feel terribly different for me with it. You know, like normally I would be kind of geared up a little bit to maybe drink a couple extra beers. Over the 4th of July weekend, I still might do that, honestly. I've kind of lost a little bit of sense of what it means to be off on a holiday. I will fully admit to that.
Yeah, that's true. I've been losing track of what day it is from time to time, and I have been working. But, you know, working from home is definitely a lot different than what I've been used to. So
right, yeah.
I guess it's only fair for the pandemic to take over our podcast, Kevin, because it seems like it has taken over our lives here the last few months.
It's nice getting out of the pandemic bubble, sort of, when I get to just talk about wrestling, since they've decided to be, you know, keep on rolling on pretty much all front. It, not the independent wrestling, because I don't think that they can really afford, some of them can't afford the risk, I guess, unless everyone agrees to the risk. The WWE wrestlers, I guess, have to agree to it too. But they do have a closed set and limited people, so they're kind of doing things the right way, as is AEW.
No, I just, this is somewhat unrelated, but I saw that the students that are coming back to Ohio State, it looks like they're going to be required to sign some kind of a document, or I think they're calling it a pledge, so that'll be like, you know, part of it is saying that you're going to try to stop the spread of COVID-19. I guess they're going to be requiring everybody to wear masks indoors and also acknowledge that you might be exposed to it. So probably some kind of legal indemnification there of some kind, I'm guessing.
Oh.
But it's kind of interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, I do not know. I know that my niece is going to William and Mary. It's a much smaller school, so I don't know. I would imagine that they should be able to control things a little bit easier than Ohio State. That is, because I don't even know what the student count is there at this point. I don't know if you know that offhand.
No, I don't. I wouldn't, you know, somewhere around 40 or 50,000, maybe. it's a lot of students. But yeah, I mean, it could be less. They're expecting some of the students who signed up to drop out, I believe. So that's part of the planning at this point.
I would not blame any students for kind of passing, having to sign that many waivers, because I at least part of the problem is that, and I guess we've talked about it, some of it's out of your hands. Like, you could definitely accidentally spread it if someone coughed on you first.
Right, you know.
And you didn't know. Oh, yeah. You didn't know?
And it's probably, I mean, there's like limited space on campus, you know, for, you know, places to stay where you're going to be coming in contact with other people.
That's the part that makes it tough,
people coming from all over and kind of, you know, even if one of those people, has the virus, then they can spread it to everyone else pretty quickly, it seems like.
Yeah. And I guess that is the other thing. Like, and I feel like almost all universities are kind of that way now, is that you really draw in people from a large area, especially when you get to be the size of Ohio State. But I mean, and Kent was still pretty big. Like, it was 30,000 or so when I was in school there, and I believe it's over 50 now. Like, but there are only so many classrooms, you know? Right. And I mean, I guess it would be kind of like a restaurant in and of the fact that you'd only be able to do like 50% of class. Like, I don't know how much they're going to do. I guess it could be okay, especially if you live on campus or live away from your family. You could still do distance learning, I guess. Are they going to be doing any of that? I suppose. Do you know?
I don't. I think the original plan was to do in-person classes to start, and then maybe transition to distance education, but things have been kind of in flux, I feel like, so.
Gotcha. That could change. Yeah. So,
it's a weird position to be in for everybody. I think a lot of people feel like the distance education does not work quite as well as in-person instruction. And I think that's probably true. Like, people aren't really, that's not really what you're signing up for when you go to college, probably. It's a pretty different experience than being there in person. It's kind of like going to school versus homeschooling. Like, you might learn the same things, but you're going to have like a different experience for sure. And maybe you won't learn the same things.
Yeah, I've known some pretty good, well-educated homeschooled kids. it's definitely a matter of the parent having the discipline to be able to teach them all the proper things. And a couple of them have done a great job. I know that sometimes I feel like socialization is a concern, but they've done a good job with that too, to be honest with you. And I saw them end up growing up to be near adults. Like, I think I saw him when he was like 20 or something like that. It's in my old office. Anyway.
Yeah, I would say that's an adult when you're 20. In the eyes of the law.
Yeah, and I mean, he got into college and the whole nine yards. So, and he didn't have any problems transitioning, as far as I know. Which, and I wasn't surprised. But yeah, I do think that you get different things out of those types of learning situations. Because I always do feel like, and I even feel like it now, that the architecture people tend to want to be able to be around each other. Like that the collaboration works better when you're in person, and it's hard to kind of share notes for drawings just over email. And sometimes it's just not as easy. And I do kind of agree, like sometimes it's just easier to work out. But I do think that working from home is not unreasonable either, though. Or limited time at the more limited time at the office. Because, yeah. And I know we've covered this before, but so many people. I can't tell you how many times, the number of days I didn't hear someone coughing in that office as if they were sick, that was less frequent when I didn't hear someone doing it. Because there were like 50 people there. And like, I felt like someone was sick almost at every point. Like, it wasn't ever a mass problem. You know, there might be a couple people at the same time, but I always did feel like, yeah, people always go over that line, and I was, and I've said it before too, I'm guilty of going in probably under the weather when I just should have called in a sick day and just been done with it.
Yeah, I feel lucky to have worked at a few places that they've taken their sick leave, you know, seriously. So, and it made me think about it more in terms of like protecting the other people I work with. Like, you know, I don't like being sick. So,
you know, yeah. Why am I exposing someone else to that?
Right. Yeah. Do I really want to, you know, and usually people are very understanding and like, okay, yeah, I don't want to get sick either. So keep your germs to yourself.
Yeah, I do feel like it's one of those old school kind of mentalities that I feel like I'm like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. Like, it's one of those, like in the NBA when they rest players, it's just like they realize that when you play people all the time that it wears them out and that it doesn't help you win the championship at the end of the year. And if you kind of like strategically take them out for a game here and there, it helps you in the long run. Like, and that's kind of the theory, honestly. Like, if you take more of the sick days, everything else will be healthier in the long run. And
if you like actually take that time and rest when you're sick, I feel like you'll get better quicker and, you know, back to full productivity faster. So
yeah, agreed.
Just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it is some basic math that unfortunately does not seem very basic to some people. Which can maybe finally get us to the first article, really?
Yeah, I think so.
And the title of the article was... what is it? Americans are sick of the pandemic. The pandemic is not sick of us. And I do really feel like the last week or so, I have seen a weird unfolding of events. Of people really being anti-maskers. And it kind of goes back to the, you know, you and I already talked about it, how the mask, it doesn't really protect you, it helps other people. And people really seem to have a problem with that concept.
Well, you know, it's like if you agree to wear the mask, and then the agreement is that everybody else will wear the mask. So like you wearing the mask protects everybody else, and everybody else wearing the mask protects you. It's
yeah,
it's just something you can do to like keep everybody safe. Like that seems, I don't know.
Yeah, it is one of those things that it has really been baffling to me, because these people make it sound like they are out in the general public for hours on end. The vast majority of their day is outside of their domicile and somewhere else. And
I mean,
that
used to be that way. When
yeah,
I was, you know, working out of the home, I guess.
Yeah, and that's the part that's kind of extra weird to me. Like, you only really need to wear your mask at the grocery store. What are some other confined space in, like, a department store or whatever you'd want to call a big box store? Maybe
well,
it's probably
like
a more
office.
Modern term for it.
Like, would you have to wear it at the office, I would think?
Yeah, I suppose if you actually go into an office, you would need to wear one at an office. Because the wife, she's at a hospital, so it obviously makes sense that they have to wear one. But, I mean, she is kind of more in an office building and not in the hospital proper, so to speak.
Yeah. So you have been alluding to hearing people being anti-mask. Has this been, like, people that you know, you say?
Yeah, there are some people from our fine hometown. There seems to be some events playing out on Facebook that I've caught a little bit of. And this kind of also goes to my, and I think we talked about it, my aversion to arguing. It would seem someone posted something about just wear a mask. And the guy replied, hey, there's a low mortality rate. I don't need to. And that part baffles me in and of the fact that the mortality rate part doesn't bother me. The fact that you can be hospitalized with this sickness, I'm not terribly worried about me being killed by this virus. I guess I should kind of start there. Like that concern, I feel like it would be very minimal. Like, if I recognized that it was a problem and started getting treatment for, you know, or whatever help I need immediately, I think I'd be fine. So I don't think I'm at risk for that. But there is still the possibility that a hospitalization is possible. And that's something that I don't want to pay for.
Yeah.
Even when you have insurance, and I have pretty good insurance, and my employers have been good enough to keep my insurance, or my former employers, I guess, technically at this time, have been nice enough to pay for my insurance over this time, you know, that's still not going to cover a hospital visit. And
right.
I don't want to do that. And I don't want anyone else to do that. So it makes sense to me to wear a mask in a very... Like, I don't even think I've worn that thing for an entire hour this week yet. Like, because I want to say that this whole argument that I saw open up started on Sunday or Monday. And is continuing to today. And again, I am largely at this point just ignoring it because I don't... It's to a point of just frustration with some of these people that don't want to wear a mask. That, like I said, like, I haven't worn it but maybe a total of a full hour this week. To go out and do groceries, to go to the post office, I went to two different car dealerships for different reasons, and I went into a Target today.
Well, are these people who are maybe working you know, out in the public currently?
No.
No?
No.
Hmm. I don't understand what the big deal is there. It's...
No, and that is kind of part of it. Like, it's really weird to me that people are literally just kind of, like... that they're being that careless about it. Like, they're that sick of the pandemic that they just don't care at all. Like, to me, that's what... When you're not putting the mask on, you're like, I don't care. Like,
like, there's signs that people have had, you know, long-term damage from this as well, even if you don't die. There's people who have had their lungs, like, severely damaged.
Well, so, and I even saw that I didn't read the story, but the Rudy Gobert, who was the one that touched all the Utah Jazz player... that touched all the microphone and spread it to a number of his teammates, that he still hasn't fully recovered. Like, this guy is an elite athlete, and he can't recover from it 3 months later fully? Like, do you really want that? Like, you're not an elite athlete. Like, the chances that you're in that good a condition and that good a health, really, is practically zero.
I mean, when it comes down, it's what people want the right to get other people sick is basically what they're trying to fight for here. It's not even about them. Like, you're protecting other people. I don't know.
It's just been crazy to just kind of, and I mean, if I didn't see it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, just like, and I get, because every week I go out and I just see the number of people that don't have masks on. Because the one car dealership I stopped in, there are six people shoulder to shoulder, basically, that didn't have mask on, and there was another guy in front of them, and I just stood back from everyone. I'm like, nah. And I had my mask on. I'm like, fuck off, people. Like, if you want to do that, I guess, but I'm really just going to try to stay away from all yins. Like, that's what it comes down to. I'm like, come on, man. Like, it's not that hard. It really isn't. And I don't know why it's become something that's this complicated in this, why it's that worthy of being stubborn. Again, like, most of the time you only need to wear it for like maybe an hour.
We went to a farmer's market today and they had a mask requirement there. Bexley did pass a rule here to that everybody has to have a mask inside. But this, at the farmer's market, it was required outside even. And they were handing out masks if you didn't have them at the entrance, which was nice.
Yeah.
Somebody was, like, spraying their hands with alcohol and then handing you a mask. So, like, they were being pretty careful about it. It was nice. I mean, it didn't seem like the people had any problem that were there, although I did notice one SUV family pull up and take off or leave without going to the festival or farmer's market. So it's possible they had a problem with the mask requirement. I don't know. I didn't see any tension go down, Kevin, but there could have been a Karen / Ken / Kevin situation happening.
Oh, yes. I almost want to really witness a Karen / Ken / Kevin moment. And you and I definitely need to have another sidebar about our good names being slandered through this whole situation. Before it was just Kevin. Now you have been drug. Your fine name has been drug into this situation. How are you now feeling now that you are also a guilty party? Like, I was already a guilty party, so.
Well, I don't know. Do we
I'm getting comfortable with it.
Do we need to talk about what we're even talking about here?
About Karen.
Yeah, probably most people are familiar, I think, at this point.
Yes.
I feel like if I'm familiar with it, probably most people are familiar with it, but...
Karen has definitely... I feel like I started hearing about them maybe 5 years ago or so. I will admit that many of my wrestling friends are African-American, and they have brought these things to my attention maybe a little more frequently than some people do, since they are having to deal with the Karens of the world more than yours truly. I am not the right skin tone, really, to raise Karen's ire. So I do feel like my exposure has been a while, but there has been a real part of this pandemic that, again, the people that don't want to wear masks, because there was a recent Karen without a mask. I believe she was in a Target, and they were asking her to put on a mask, and then she completely emptied her cart as she started dressing people down verbally.
Yes.
In meltdown. And the meltdown is definitely part of being a Karen. Like, I don't think you can be a Karen without a meltdown. Like, that it seems to be one of the requirements of being a Karen.
Well, I would say that traditionally has been the way Karens kind of assert their power in the world, is through having meltdowns. That kind of get them what they want. If I was to, draw a little bit of a, maybe that's my opinion, but.
Yeah, kind of I would imagine that maybe used to get them what they wanted. And that tactic is not working on a lot of people now. There are definitely a little bit of a sea change for those who do not approve of Karen's tactics anymore, because it has that's another sidebar that isn't even really a topic. Crime in general has gone down for quite some time at this point. I believe that it started under Reagan and has gone down since then. And people still have this crazy sense of, not that there isn't crime in the United States, but that there's more crime than there really is.
Yeah.
I do think that that's a news problem, in part. And it is a people problem that seem to be drawn to the bad news more than the good news stuff.
Yeah, it's a people problem.
It's really a little bit of a, would that be, entering into paradox territory? Or chicken and egg territory, at least? Is it the, viewers that are the problem, or the news that keep on pushing the drug?
Yeah, because you could say if people stop paying attention, if that stopped driving ratings, then they would stop reporting on it. So, it is like a chicken and egg cycle sort of thing. What's the opposite of a virtuous cycle? Some type of a diabolical cycle, I guess. kind of feeds on each other. But yeah, you're right. It's it has kind of created, and I think that kind of fear is almost part of it too, fear slash anger almost mixed.
People
are being afraid of crime. This, I don't know, it was in a Chipotle parking lot, I think, was a recent example Oh, well, I guess the kind of the famous example would have been the couple in St. Louis who were in front of that mansion with their guns waving them around.
Yeah, that was definitely a Ken and Karen or Kevin Ken/Kevin and Karen moment. Although he seems to have more murfed it. Good God, I murfed that sentence up good.
Yeah, you're for sure right,
Dylan. He seems to be more of a Ken, so I don't feel like Kevin has been attached to his person very much.
Yeah, I had definitely heard of the Karen kind of archetype before this week, but this story was the first time that I came across the male version. So yeah, to see that my name was unfortunately chosen just because I guess it shares a lot of letters between, you know, with Karen. It's unfortunate, but I don't know. I feel like my name was associated with a plastic doll. So
right.
It's not really a step up, I would say.
It's more of a sideways move, is what you're saying.
Lateral move, yeah.
I haven't
really been able to catch a break there, but I hadn't realized that this also, you know, your name had been associated with this as well.
Yeah, and I've got to admit, the Kens and Kevins of the world are, they seem to be less public than the Karens of the world. The woman seems to be getting more of the, and I don't know if they're just more prone to flipping out that way.
I don't know if they make better targets. Is it sexism? I mean, it's hard to say. That certainly could be part of it.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that maybe the women in that situation tend to maybe be more the shopper. So they are more guilty of it since they are out in the public sphere more, at least in the targets of the world.
There is, for some reason, like the idea of the, you know, I want to talk to the manager. It's a very Karen sort of phrase. But that seems to be sort of more of the sort of thing a woman would say than a man, I guess. At least if I had to picture somebody saying that,
oh,
it would be a woman of a, you know, certain age with a certain haircut.
Yeah, unfortunately, stereotypes work both ways, I suppose.
I guess, you know, guys can be dicks in different ways.
Yeah,
but
for
that
sure.
Feels like the Karen mode just feels sort of like a I don't know. Although this Ken in the St. Louis example did a pretty good job as well, I'd say. You know, I just don't like the idea of private streets. Like, supposedly those people were marching by. It was a private street. That's why they were, you know, freaking out and had their guns waving around.
Oh, like, what?
Like, that just doesn't sit right with me.
Well, I guess it seems crazy to me that a private street would be something of choice to march on. You know what I mean? Because I guess most private streets are just that. They're more private. Like, there's a homeowners association that's not too far from us, and they have a road that goes through the whole homeowners association. You've got to get a gate to get in and out of it, but like, it's a full road. But I don't know anyone, no one in there were people that marched in Gahanna, And they didn't choose to go down that private road because it would have been like, it wouldn't have accomplished the goal of being seen in public. So, well, like, it's kind of crazy that, yeah. like, and I mean, I kind of saw how big the march was, and I'm like, damn, man, that is a huge street for being a private street.
Well, yeah, apparently, well, I guess a couple of things. They were marching to protest at the house of the mayor of Atlanta. Was it Atlanta?
No, St. Louis.
Yeah. Because she had announced the names of people who were calling to defund the police. So she was seen as, that was seen as kind of being like intimidating some of those people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Seems a little over the top.
It didn't sit well with people. So they were marching to her house to protest that. And she lived in this gated community in St. Louis.
Okay. That's still a big-ass street for a gated community.
Well, yeah. And apparently there's a history of this kind of rubbing people the wrong way. Because this area, like, the landowners paved that street. The streets in there before the city kind of reached them. So like they're kind of like this, there's these private street areas that are sort of enclaves inside the St. Louis, I guess.
Oh. So like the developers developed it before the city connected to the development?
Apparently so. And it seems like that basically, it almost looks like it's on the grid of the city, but they're like, you know, private streets. So there's like a gate there, but apparently it opens. And then they said there's another way in there that doesn't, you don't even have to go through a gate, like on the street.
Oh, okay. That just seems like a bizarre, like, that's like one of those zoning things. Like, you go into the, since I'd have to deal with the zoning department, like, you go into the zoning department, you're like, huh? Like, I've never heard about that. Like, what kind of bullshit is this?
I don't like that idea. Like, I didn't like, because, I mean, that came up, I think, for the Trayvon Martin case. He was walking through a private neighborhood. Which I feel like people should be able to walk through. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you're living on a street, like, to gate yourself off from kind of, like, the immediate neighbors around you, it just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, again, I guess I always feel like it's weird. Like, the street that I'm thinking of near us would be completely useless to cut through. But maybe that's why I'm thinking of it just being useless. It sounds, you know, obviously Trayvon Martin was probably thinking that it was a quicker route to get to his house.
Right.
So yeah, evidently there are ones that connect better into the city than the ones that, that I have in mind.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Well, also, I don't necessarily love the idea of going to someone's private house to protest either. Just as a kind of idea side thing there, but
yeah, I'm in your boat. Like, I thought that was pretty crazy when people were going to when she was the head of it, Amy Acton, Dr. Amy Acton was the head of Ohio Surgeon General or whatever.
Down here in Bexley, they were protesting at her house.
Yeah.
I think that's especially bad because she wasn't even an elected official. I mean, if you're like a, I don't know, the mayor, you know, you're taking on some public role there that people are going to, you know, have an interest in interacting with you, I suppose. But,
that position that she was in is usually not one that, really has got to do heavy PR work.
Yeah. So, it's, I don't know. Anyway, I think that those people were way overreacting, and I can't believe, you know, I didn't hear anything about charges about that, from, like, pointing your weapon at people. like brandishing a weapon. That feels like that should be not allowed.
Yeah, I guess maybe they feel like it's too minor of a crime to try and prosecute or something. I don't know. Like, I guess I don't know the exact laws on doing that. They did... I do always feel like there are just people out there that they seem too eager to use their gun. And I know that we've talked about this before. But with the way that they were pointing them and stuff, like, no one seemed to be coming near their lawn from the videos that I have seen.
Now, I saw some of the protesters maybe talking to them or yelling at them, but I didn't see anybody coming on the lawn. No, not at all.
Yeah, like, there wasn't anyone trying to bum rush their lawn or anything, so it's just like... I guess you could be ready, but to kind of be like pointing it at people, that part seems excessive. Even if you don't have, could you still have it locked so that you can't actually shoot? I suppose, but it still seems it seems excessive to me. If you know that they're going to protest at the mayor's house, you kind of know that they're not there for you.
Yeah. It does seem like there was just having a gun, like it makes you feel powerful. And for some people that can be a little too intoxicating, we'll look for any reason to kind of wield that power, and it can lead to bad outcomes. These people clearly seem, Ken and Karen, I would say clearly seem to be like relishing the chance to show how powerful they are with their guns.
Yeah, and that was something that I don't know which article it was. Maybe it was it was the Karen article that talked about whether that could become more of a problem. I could see that, I guess I would almost be surprised if that doesn't end up happening.
Like more and more people kind of...
Whether it's an accidental shooting or not. If the next Karen and or Ken gets a little trigger happy at some type of a peaceful protest, things are going to get really crazy at that point. And 2020 seems like a year for that to happen.
Well, there was a guy who ran his car into the protest. And then had a gun and shot the guy in the shoulder when they were going to pull him out of the car. I mean... that's not really self-defense at that point, I would say. Like, when you drive your car into the people to start with, like, it's hard to claim self-defense after that point, to me.
Agreed. Yeah. Maybe self-preservation, but I'm not sure about self-defense.
Because you put yourself in that situation.
Had you not run the car in there, no one would have been dragging you out of said car.
It's hard to argue with that, in my opinion.
Yeah, that seems pretty foolproof to me, but I'm sure that there would be some people that would think that he deserved to be in the car no matter what.
God gave him the right to drive his car wherever he wants because he's an American, goddammit.
Oh.
So I am not exactly sure how long we've been recording here, Kevin, but
we're at the 45 mark.
So we might want to kind of turn our attention to, a different place, a galaxy that is far, far away, long, long ago even. Did it even happen at all, Kevin? I don't know.
Yeah, we have been talking about annoying people this whole podcast. So it was time to talk about another group of annoying people. Evidently a person who goes under the pseudonym Doomcock. Yep,
Yeah.
you heard that right, people. Doomcock. This guy has gotten 450,000 views on YouTube for his what I would call a fantastical idea that Disney is going to disassociate the last three movies of the Star Wars franchise. And his contention seems to be that it is going to be a different part of a multiverse, and that there is going to be, they're like an alternate ending. It's like it's Clue, and we got one ending, and we're gonna get another ending, and I suppose there would be another set of endings after that, right? Like, we've got to at least have three alternate endings. Correct? I mean, I know that Doomcock did not suggest that, but I'm just talking out loud here. If you're going with the multiverse theory, like, you're going whole hog, right?
Well, I would assume they would have to bring in Tim Curry to kind of like do the explanation at the beginning of the next Star Wars movie. He's like, so that's what could have happened. But here's what really happened. Somehow I don't see that happening. So that's basically what these people are calling. Person or people, I don't know.
Yeah, they
Doomcock.
are claiming that they know sources that this is going to happen. And I need to pull it up because Doomcock had some. It was, I believe, in Star Wars Rebels. There was one line that he used to extrapolate into a whole line of thoughts about how there is a multiverse in the Star Wars world.
Yeah, it involves something called the veil of the Force or something like that, but and also a room of mirrors that the Emperor had,
Yeah, oh
apparently.
yeah, the concept of the Veil of the Force, a mystical dimension of the Force that connects all time and space. And I mean, that doesn't seem unreasonable considering that there are ghosts frequently popping up in the movies.
I feel like if any kind of like genre story goes on long enough, they eventually have to come to the point where there's alternate realities and or dimensions at some point. It's kind of inevitable that it would happen with Star Wars as well. I think that could be some kind of pop culture law. Phillips Law, dare I say? I don't know if
The
you've
Phillips
seen.
Law. Oh, I'm glad that you're fluffing yourself up over there.
Sci-fi or fantasy series will eventually reach the point where they will introduce the concept of alternate dimensions or alternate realities. But yeah, so I feel like there's a 0% chance of this happening. But it is
Oh.
funny to me to read about. I mean, there could be some, I suppose, semblance of this happening. Like, I was thinking of the recent Star Wars movies that J.J. Abrams did. Those supposedly are taking place in a different timeline than the mainline Star Trek universe. So that's kind of like a different version of Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and all those people.
Oh, okay.
So, I could see you know, something along that line's happening. But that's not at all the same as saying that those movies never happened, which seems to be what they're saying that Disney is trying to do here.
Yeah, that is another one that part of the article is that, yeah, those ones are going to be wiped off the map. And, yeah, I don't see that happening at all.
I mean, they spent a lot of money, and they actually made a lot of money, so I'm not sure what their motivation would be to totally wipe them out.
And I need to pull that up, because the other part that I just thoroughly disagree with Doomcock, but he feels like the Last Jedi...
I would like to register my complaint with the honorable gentleman Doomcock.
But he has a problem. Like, he feels like Luke Skywalker's name was sullied by the Last Jedi.
And I would say that is a common complaint I've heard.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know if we've gone over that, but I guess I'm confused by that. Like, how is his name sullied? Like, he stood up to the First Order and helped buy them enough time, the Resistance enough time to get out of Dodge.
I've seen it said that they feel like he would never have tried to turn on Kylo/Ben. Like he did before he kind of like went totally to the dark side. Do you remember that scene like where they were in the tent and he like pulled his lightsaber out like he was going to attack?
Oh, yeah.
So some people felt like that was completely out of character, which I don't know. I think I could see it. I could see him having that moment there. And I think also people had a problem with him kind of like retreating to that planet and sort of being a hermit and not, you know, taking part of events anymore, basically. That's kind of my feeling. I disagree, but those are the complaints as I understand them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess those are ones where I'm like, I guess I see your point, but it doesn't, to me, it doesn't completely register. You know, it is something that is egregious enough to wipe the stories off the map.
Yeah,
as they're alleging will happen. Like, I
feel like it was a bold choice for sure, and I kind of like that. I think it was interesting to do something different. You know, to not have. You know, Luke was supposed to be the great hero to kind of save everything. But then, you know, life goes on, man.
And everyone seems to have their own gig. It always seems like all the powerful guys kind of, they either go evil or they kind of drop off the map. I guess Yoda kind of realizes how much he fucked up and goes to a planet to die. You know,
Obi-Wan
does it. And there are so many characters, like, I guess since I play the game Galaxy of Heroes, like there are some of these older characters that are like pre the Star Wars movies that there's like a Jedi version of them. And then there's a Sith version of them. Like, the fact, if any Star Wars fan seems to think that all the good guys stay good guys for the whole time, like, it's not really part of canon at all. Like, so I guess I don't, that's the other part where I guess I don't get where that argument comes from. Like, almost everyone in that series has a dark moment, or, you know, has some dark moments. Like, maybe you could argue that Princess Leia doesn't really have any... Maybe a couple of the female characters. Like, I don't know if Princess Amidala ever really had, like, a dark, dark moment, but...
Well, when she died, I suppose that was kind of dark. But...
She didn't kill herself, though.
No, she died in childbirth. If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And the darkness of that moment was undercut significantly by Darth Vader coming out and yelling no in his new, you know, Darth Vader suit. It's still one of those top cheesiest moments in movie history, I would say. Like, yelling no is always a little over the top, I feel like. It's not something that someone really ever does.
No, it kind of is a cliche in movies, but not in real life.
I mean, the closest you might come to, like, if your sports team loses, you think you would ever scream no? Probably would you be more likely to curse, I'm thinking, knowing your body
now. Yeah, there would probably be cursing, and no would be more for a play. Like, it would be for an individual play. You know, like, when it comes down to the finality of losing a game, like, there's, to me, there's, you've got to pull out something more cathartic than just a no. Like, no is when you're, like, when you see a pass interference call that's a bullshit pass interference call, that's when you're like, no, that's fucking bullshit. And, like, yeah, like, if it's a game ender, I always, I feel like I go silent when things are, like, that bleak. Like, when it's the actual loss bleak, like, I'm drained of all energy at that point, honestly. Like, the emotion is almost out of me. It's just kind of agony at that point.
And that would have been a much better, I feel like, reaction, actually, for Darth Vader to have had in that moment. Like, that would have been more of a dark moment, but yeah. I guess we could have, if we could have helped George Lucas out with the script writing on that, we might have been able to help save that movie. I did see a separate rumor that he was interested in taking on a new trilogy for Disney to do three new Star Wars movies. I know there's been a lot of people up in the air, kind of back and forth, who's going to be doing the next movies. But that could be seen, I guess, as a way to sort of maybe try to keep the fans happy.
there does seem to be any number of stories that you can tell, I would think. Like, not that it... I guess the only reason that a multiverse, to me, seems a little more ridiculous in Star Wars is because there's such an unlimited variety, it would seem, of peoples and planets that you could tell stories about if you'd want to. And they kind of, because they go into them some into the, when they're going to the Senate and everything, like, they at least have some concept of all these different civilizations. I don't feel like they ever did a good, well, I'm not that big of a Star Trek fan, so I can't judge it, honestly, but, you know, like, I guess I think of multiverses more in comic books. And, like, you almost needed a way to get out of the superheroes winning all the time in some ways. So you kind of needed some way to do a reset. Like, you can kind of keep on telling either stories into the future or tell stories about the past. Or even some of these things, like, I know that I have, like, the cartoons of, like, the Clone Wars. It would be pretty cool to get more of a nitty-gritty... kind of like a Rogue One, but during the Clone Wars, maybe more just about one single operation and how everything went and how all the pieces kind of connected together for that, rather than a new trilogy. Like, I guess that Clone Wars maybe is a little overdone, but it would be pretty cool to see some of the Old Republic stuff. I don't know how much of the Old Republic stuff is canon, but it'd be pretty neat to see them go that far back into the past. I mean, I've been an advocate of Silmarillion stuff for Lord of the Rings, so if you don't think I'm going to go far past jump in on that Star Wars goodness, you are mistaken. I would be up for some Old Republic stories. Or even post Resistance stories, I don't think would be a bad thing either.
Of course, the Tolkien estate has not licensed the Silmarillion for anyone to make into a motion picture. So,
right.
I'm not sure. I don't think that is a impediment for Star Wars. Did Disney not get the rights to like all the books and everything? I wonder.
Dude, I would assume that Disney paid for everything. Yeah. That's just my that is my assumption with not even looking at the deal. Because Disney paid a poop ton of money, so I figure that they have rights to do whatever they please, which would
because
be any of the source material.
Novels in the first place would have had to have gotten rights from, you know, or permission from, you know, Lucasfilm in some way, I would think, at the time.
Right.
So probably those, I don't know, they would be able to make a movie out of that or not, I'm not sure, but it would be, I think, better if they could just tell a totally new story that was like not even related, you know, to this, to what we've seen before. I don't know. That would be a ballsy, choice for a new trilogy, but I feel like if they could pull that off, that would really set them up for success in the future. If they can't, it might end up being the kind of diminishing returns of Star Wars after a while here, I feel like.
yeah, that timeline kind of needs to be maybe somewhat abandoned. Like, I guess I wouldn't, if it's going to be, and I guess that is kind of another thing, like, Rogue One was just kind of a one-off story. I guess I wouldn't mind one-off stories about some extra parts of these trilogies, of these original trilogies, but to see another three movies, like I said, I guess I'd be all up for something for the Old Republic. That would be my push. Like, that's a completely, like, way before Luke Skywalker and even before Yoda, I think. So, that's a long-ass time ago.
I guess something like The Mandalorian, I haven't seen that, but it does sound like they're kind of telling a new story there, maybe with some familiar elements. So, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to say, like, if they could make a movie that is like a show that I haven't seen.
It'd be great. Oh, well, now that we've talked about non-mask wearers, Karens, and Doomcock and his crazy Star Wars theories,
and some people who always wear a mask, such as the Mandalorian.
Yes, the Mandalorian, not afraid to wear a mask.
Not at all.
And neither is Boba Fett. And neither is Jango Fett. We do always choose to talk about beer to end our shows. It looks like you are drinking a familiar one over there, sir. If I'm not mistaken, it is a, it is a familiar brand,
yes.
But, I cannot see the print on the actual, can itself. Oh, Cloud Harvest.
Yes. I did a little head fake with you this week, Kevin. You probably saw the logo from Rheingeist, but it's actually, a Cloud Harvest this year, unfiltered juicy IPA.
How is the Cloud Harvest? I have not had that one previously.
I am liking it. It's a nice little you know, kind of a 1-2 combination with, you know, switching off from the truth. A little smoother, I would say, probably.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's not bad.
Cool. I am on the light drinking train tonight. Outer Belt Brewing, which is in Carroll, Ohio, just outside of 270. This is their golf cart golden ale. And, yeah, there's nothing too crazy about this. It has a nice little sweetness to it. It has a crispness to it. And it's easy drinking 4.8% alcohol. So your boy tonight going low ABV, but it is a tasty, nice light beer. If you want something more refreshing, especially in these hot-ass July days in the craziest year of our Lord 2020, this would be a choice for me. So.
Yeah, it looked like we're going to be having 2 weeks of 90-degree highs, from what I could tell. That's not great, but...
Nope, that is hot, especially for July.
Yeah.
Maybe August, expect that. July, a little bit early.
Looking forward to getting together for some early morning disc golf tomorrow, Kevin. Hopefully that will go down without a hitch. Before gets too hot.
That should go off without a hitch. I will try to get this posted before that happens, maybe directly after it happens. We'll find out. I am at DeFrango11. He is at Gozer33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Oh, and what other platforms that we might be on, you probably should be able to find us. Those are the major ones, so go out and do your best to help us out. And with that, have a good night.
We'll see you.